hearing some awesome word in this house. It's been off the chain. I remember Pastor George started with hearing God, and then it went to following the pattern. Then this is just recently, and then Pastor Domer's Harden Not Your Heart, and then Pastor Minor came back with If My People. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, I'm gonna tell y'all something. You know, I'm just like amazed, and I'm being real with y'all. I'm talking to y'all as somebody that used to be on the streets. I sit in awe of the word that comes out of these vessels in this house. On Wednesday nights, they're talking about love. Sometimes I'll be sitting on the edge of the seat. I know they just be wondering, but the preacher in me sometimes just want to take the mic and preach. It just does. But you sit back and you get that word. Rich word coming from Minister Boone and Minister Janice Boone. It's just so rich, and all Pastor Minor and all the ministers here. And then to know, I'm just talking about my house, because I say it all the time. It's a sad duck that don't quack in his own pond. So I just want to tell y'all, sometimes I come in and I see y'all and I just get so excited, and it's like my strength is being renewed just by being in your presence. And God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. And that's because we draw strength from one another. Somebody say strength. I was blessed on last Sunday when Sister Patricia, even with the words in the song, she said, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I mean, the power of God. And that's my heart's desire. I woke up this morning and I had studied all week long. I said, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to share with the people? And I had a sermon, had it down packed. And my wife would tell you, my children would tell you, when I have a sermon, when I have to minister, everybody in the house get involved. Everybody. And at 6:39 this morning, the Lord got up and switched it. And I said, well, can I? He said, if you don't preach the word that I gave you, I'm going to sit down. And I don't want the Lord to sit down on me. So I'm going to be obedient to what the Lord gave me. So the entitlement of this message, just so y'all know, it used to be a song, and some of y'all might remember it. I had to come in and ask somebody. But the title, it went something like this: If You Feel Like I Feel. And that's a world of songs, so if y'all don't know it, I think it was Marvin Gaye. He used to say something like, if you feel like I feel, I need a sexual healing. But what I feel, the word that the Lord gave me was, if you feel like I feel, I need a spiritual healing. Y'all act like sex a bad word. God created all things. We're the ones that makes it dirty. Amen. Somebody say, if you feel like I feel. As I wake up to the things of God, there's so much going on. There's so much going on in this world today. I'm saying, and you wake up and you say, somebody need to do something. We do say that, don't we? We say, I can't believe that that's happening. And then when it starts to knock on our door, I mean, when it starts to get close to the home, you hear about it in Richmond. Then you hear about it in Petersburg or somewhere. And then you hear about Virginia Beach and Suffolk. And you're like, wow, that's right here. That's local. That's knocking at my door. And I said to myself, if we as a people don't wake up and get challenged in the things of God, we have loved ones, we have friends and neighbors that are dying and that don't know Christ. Amen. That don't know Christ. I was just, you know, we said so much this morning. I don't even know if y'all heard everything that was said, but we talked about our neighbors. And I was going over just being a good neighbor. Thank you, Steve. I was going over just being a good neighbor. You can keep playing if you want to, but I was just going over to my neighbor's house being a good neighbor because her husband had died. And, you know, you go over and you give your condolences and everything, and, you know, if there's anything you need, let me know, and I'll be there for you. So I consistently, I went over one time and I went over another time. And this time, every time I went, I prayed with her. But this time she came to me and she said, you know, I need to share something with you. She said, I lied to you. I said, well, darling, that's okay. I wake up every morning. I live a life of repentance. That's all right. She said, but I want you to know the truth. And I said, well, okay. She said, my husband didn't die of a massive heart attack. My husband hung himself in the garage. And my heart was like, oh, my God. And we saw the police cars and we saw all the stuff going on. My wife actually, she said, honey, I see somebody hanging in there. I said, that ain't nobody hanging in there. And then when she finally came and told the truth to me, I was like, oh, my God. And she said, you know, I have to leave this house. So I was helping her get stuff out and everything. She said, because every time I come home and I pop the garage door open, I just see him dangling there. And I just couldn't, I just began to do what I do. I just started praying with her. And I said to myself, we as a people got to learn to please God. You know, we as a people have to learn to please God and be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he's leading. Sometimes even in these services, we sit still. We sit on the Holy Spirit. We quench the Spirit, and we're going to have to stop doing that. You know, when you reach out to people, you don't know what they're going through in their lives. When we pray for one another, you don't know what's going on with that person's hand that you're holding. So we need to take these things very, 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 very serious when we come into the house of God. So, you know, we need, it's an awakening when something comes knocking at your door. But I couldn't imagine, you know, and she began to, she wanted to keep talking, so I had to keep listening. So sometimes people don't need you to talk back. They just need you to hear. She was saying he battled with depression. And this gentleman was very successful. Very, very, very successful. Had practices all in Virginia Beach. So you don't know what's going on in a person's mind. But we get so busy and don't take the time to share Christ. That's why I said this missionary class, this evangelist class, this witnessing class we're going to have is important. Because sometimes we want to share Christ, but we don't know what to say or even how to say it. So I just want to encourage you to come back out, come to the class on next Sunday at 9:30. But when this all occurred, I said, Lord, what is it you really want me to say? And I said, Lord, I know what I feel. And I really don't know how to express it through the word. I said, all this word going out in the house and it's so powerful and so good. He said, you do what you've been doing. You do you. He told me, you do you. And when I first entered into the ministry, I never forget, mother was 79 years old at that time. That was in 91. She said, boy, you just stand flat-footed and say what God say. And sit down. And that has stuck with me for years and years and years. But you go through identity crisis. And you want to be this person and that person. I want to preach like Pastor Minor. I want to preach like Kenny Boone. I want to preach like Sister Janice. I want to preach like Pastor George. I want to preach like Pastor Doe. You know. And I was doing my thing through the house. And my daughter come messing with me. She told me, you the next T.D. Jakes. So I was like, go ahead, girl. Stop. You know. Messing with her daddy. Trying to encourage her daddy. That's all right. But if you would, go into your word, Matthew 6:33. If you'll stand for the reading, please. Just that one verse, you can maybe be seated. I'm reading out of the King James. 6:33, Matthew 6:33. And it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, all these things shall be added unto you. Let's read it again. Read it with me. Now, Father God, I just thank you. Even as I go into your word on today, Heavenly Father, I ask you that I decrease and you increase in me, Heavenly Father. Allow the people to see you, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I thank you that you will rise up strong and mighty in me, Heavenly Father. I thank you that the people will hear, thus saith the Lord, and their lives will be changed, Heavenly Father. My life will be changed after this day, Lord God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word will not go out void, Heavenly Father. It shall return, Lord God, and shall return rich and powerful and true. We just thank you now, Father God. We worship you and we bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let your anointing just be refreshed in this house, Heavenly Father. Let your anointing rest on my head, Lord God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your anointing destroys every yoke and sets the captive free, Lord God. I thank you for deliverance and miracles being in this house on today. I just bless you right now, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your strength and your might. I thank you for your Holy Spirit being my portion. Move like you've never moved before. Do what you want to do. Now's the time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My sole purpose, as I get older and older, I wake up and I realize my sole purpose in this life should be to please God. When I look in the Bible and I think about people that please God, so many times I look at Hebrews 11 and 5, and it talks about Enoch. And it says about Enoch, it said that he pleased God. He got raptured up. God took him up because he pleased God. Somebody say he pleased God. And that should be our very fiber. That should be our very thing that we breathe. If you wake up this morning, just this morning, if you look back over the whole week, can you and ask yourself a question? Did I please God? Just this week, did I please God? You know, and as I want to live a life, I want to live a life that people can say he's living for Christ and he must be a Christ man, and they see the anointing on me. And I just want to please God with my whole life. Everything that I do, everything that I say, everywhere that I go, I want it to reflect Christ. And if your life doesn't reflect Christ, we need to check ourselves. We need to check ourselves and see what it is God would have us to be and what God would have us to do. Ask God to show us a spiritual mirror that will allow us to become the people that he's called us to be and do what he's called us to do in the kingdom of God. We get so wrapped up in things and what's going on that we lose our focus. You know, it's more, being a Christian is more than just coming to the altar and getting prayer. It's more than just coming to the house of God and saying, I went to church on the day. Being a Christian is more than just giving somebody a dollar out your pocket and saying, I gave. You know, God is asking for a greater commitment from us. We should have a life that's full of prayer. We should have a life that's full of witnessing. We should have a life that's full of love. We should represent, just like when Jesus walked this earth, everything that he did, he represented God. And we should live a life that's pleasing to Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Even as I continue to search the scriptures and I asked God, I said, what is it you want me to share, Lord? He told me just to encourage the people, to let you know that even though we get entwined in these things of this world, you can go to 2 Timothy 2 and 4. Hallelujah. When you have it, say, I have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2 and 4. No man, and it says, do you have it? No man that warth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. See, we get enwrapped in these things of the world. The affairs of life, the Bible says, and we get entangled with these things. You know, I think about my father-in-law, and even as a young boy coming up, I had a lot of old people teach me stuff about taking care of your yard and pruning trees and stuff like that. And so every year, February comes around, I have to cut my crepe myrtles back in order for them to bloom. But in order to do that, you have to, even with other trees, and my father-in-law, he was a farmer. And when I met my wife, I was trying to impress my father-in-law, so I would go into their fields, the tobacco fields and stuff like that. And he had us chopping weeds. And I never understood why, but he said the weeds would kill the crop. So you got to take those weeds and don't let them get entangled, and you got to pull them out. And the same thing when you cut a tree back, they have what they call, well, we call them sucker shoots. And what they do, they grow up on a tree, and they'll drain the strength. They shouldn't be on the tree. They weaken the tree. So you have to cut those things away. So we have to learn as a people of God. Sometimes we got to go in our spiritual lives and cut stuff away and get rid of those things and take them off, because they'll drain you if you leave them up there. Those sucker shoots will mess up a tree. The tree will get top heavy, and next thing you know, the tree will break off. But you got to cut those sucker shoots off. You got to get those weeds out of our life. Timothy here is saying we can't get entangled with the affairs of this world. We get so wrapped up with the affairs of this world that we lose our focus, and our focus should be Christ. The example of Christ, showing love, showing compassion, helping one another. We cannot be entangled with the affairs of this world. Somebody say amen. Let's go to Mark 7. If you don't even go there, it's a familiar scripture. And it talks about the seed falling, the seed and falling amongst thorns. And it's talking about when a good seed, it gets wrapped up in these thorns, it can't grow. It's about a seed falling on good ground. And that's what we have to do. We have to make sure our seed falls on good ground and it doesn't fall amongst thorns. If you ever try to reach into a thorn and pull a rose bush or something with thorn, you ain't getting in there without getting cut up. And that's what happens when you do things. We get wrapped up and tarred up in things, and then you try to reach and pull yourself out. First of all, you shouldn't have been there. And then you get cut up, and you're bleeding, you're hurting, and you get wrapped up in the things of this world, the cares of this world. And we can't do that. So, you know, I'm just here trying to encourage you on the day. Don't let the cares of this world mess you up. Amen. I continued to look through the word, and I said, God, what is it that you want to say? And I mean, when I said that, that's what I said. John 15:5, please. And it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Ye that abide in me, and I in you, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. We're supposed to bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. See, but we get wrapped up. We need a spiritual awakening until it hits home. That was across the street from me. That was across the street from me. Yes, I spoke to him. Yes, I said hello to him. I never witnessed Christ to him. His wife, yes. We talked, we were at the election booth, and I was witnessing Christ to her. So at least she saw the Christ or something in me that she felt that she could come to me and share what was hurting her. Because I said to myself, Lord Jesus, don't let this lady take her life. See, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to come and fill your head with, he killed himself because of me, and if it weren't for me, he would still be alive, and what could I have did different, and what could I have said to make him not do this, and you know, but that's how Satan comes in. He comes in. We know the word says he come but to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can come into our homes and come into our neighborhoods and come into our lives and kill, steal, and destroy, we lose out. I lost out on meeting a great man. She began to share the things that he had did, and I was like, wow, I never knew. And he lived right across the street from me. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And God comes that we might have life and have that life more abundantly. We need a spiritual awakening. We need to wake up. We need to wake up, church. 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 It's more than just coming in these four doors. It's people out here dying in this world. that don't know Christ. But we won't take the time to share Christ with them. We can be in the grocery store. We can go to the gym and work out with them. But we won't share Christ. We have coworkers that have been working with us for years and don't even know that you saved, let alone that you want to tell them about Christ. Let's go back to John 15. Let's go to 15 too. And every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, so what the word is doing today is saying, you know, God is saying, if you bear fruit, I'm still going to cut you so you can bring forth more fruit. And it's saying if you don't bear fruit, you need to be cut away. So you get it coming and coming. If you're saved, you get it. If you're not saved, you still get it. We're supposed to bear fruit. We're supposed to be producing. We know the parable. We know the story of when Jesus went to the fig tree. That is so, I mean, it's like you hear these things, but yet they don't hit home. You plant a tree in your yard, and it's a pecan tree. I love pecans. It's a pecan tree. You wait 7 years, you wait X number of years, you got two trees there, it's supposed to produce. If that tree do not produce, you might curse it. But you might chop it down. You might put an axe to it. Matthew 3:10 talks about when you put an axe to a tree, the purpose is to cut it down. And Jesus is gonna cut those things away that are unpleasing to him. He's gonna cut them away. You know, we live these little lives in our little sheltered world, and we say, yes, I please God. But you're talking about in a little teeny shelter. When you go in your doors, that's you do your little thing in there, but you're not reaching out. You're not being a tree. You're not being productive. A tree branches hang out. They hang out. We have to be productive. We have to reach out. We have to produce. Somebody say produce. A lot of things stops us from producing. So many things stop us from producing. And as I look in the Word, I love David. I looked at King David, and I looked at boy David. I said, this is such a familiar story. We always call it a Bible story. But everything in the Old Testament or the New Testament, everything in the Bible is true. It happened. Somebody say it happened.
It happened.
You look at David, and he had to face a giant. A lot of times we look at that story and say, oh, it's a nice little Bible story. He got a slingshot, and he killed the giant, and the giant fell dead. It's so much meat in that story. David was from the family. His heritage was Judah. He was from the line of Judah. And it's such a big picture. When you really study that thing and look at the people that are involved, even the giant Goliath, he was from Gath. And the thing that we have to understand, Judah was supposed to take out all these other, when they went there, they were supposed to kill all these other tribes. They were supposed to take them all out. But they left Gath. Okay? And I'm just giving you that. But I wanted to say was, David, when he came there, and everybody knows the story, so it's a real familiar story. But when he came there, his father sent them there. His father, he was on a task for his father. His father told him, take this bread, take this cheese to the captain of the guard and make sure and bring me back a report about your brothers, how your brothers are doing. You know. So David went there, and he went there, and he heard this uncircumcised Philistine yelling out things about his God. See, David had a spiritual awakening when he got there. If David was trying to get these guys, he said, now, who is this uncircumcised, defying the armies of our God, the living God? And the rest of them there, they were, fear stops you. Somebody say fear.
Fear
will make you just paralyzed. If you ever shined a deer, you ever seen the lights in a deer's eyes, he just freezes. Sometimes fear does that to us, whether it's doing ministry, whether it's doing outreach, or whether it's trying to advance ourselves. It will freeze you. I'm not capable. I'm not this. I'm not that. He's too big. He's too that. You know, but Goliath, he represented all those things that aren't not of God. David represented all those things of Christ. If you look at his life, if you look at the life of David, he's so, he looks just like Jesus. He was a shepherd. Jesus was a shepherd. He was blamed, and Jesus was blamed. I mean, just his whole parallel of both of their lives. But David came into the camp, and he got indignant. He said, hold up, wait a minute. Here. Y'all standing here. this giant comes out day and night for 40 days and just gets up in your face and tell you, your God ain't this, your God ain't that. Why don't you send out a man to fight me if your God is all? He just taunted them. He taunted them. Have you ever had something taunt you? You gave up. You know, I'm not sinning no more. And then you have a flashback of that thing. It just taunts you in your mind. And then you try to do something and it taunts you over here. And see, that's what the giant was doing. And sometimes giants in our lives come just to torment us. Torment us and stop us from and freeze us from doing what God has called us to do. You know, that's what happens. See, but David didn't go for that. David already, see, one thing, if y'all want points, I'll give you points. One thing that David already knew was that his God had delivered him already. God had shown him how mighty and how true he could be. Because when he was out there minding his daddy's sheep, you know, he had to go back because the lion and the bear had already taken one of his daddy's sheep. David went and got him. So David was like, if he would deliver me from a lion and a bear, then he would sure deliver me out of the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine. So sometimes we got to be able to face our fears and say, no, 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 no. David understood if he goes back, he had to look. Sometimes you got to go back and look at past victories. See, David went back and he looked at past victories in his life. He didn't let fear freeze him and stop him from doing what God has called him to do. See, sometimes we'll let it just hold up, he's big. That job got too many requirements. Even though I know how to do it, I ain't even gonna put in the application. Fear freezes you from doing what God has called you to do. I know that person need Christ. I know I should be telling that person about Christ, but I'm scared to preach. I'm scared to approach him because he looks so rich. And he might look down on me. Fear will freeze us, stop us from doing the ministry that God has called us to do. A lot of times God has placed gifts in the body to edify the body, to build the body up. But fear stops us from doing what God has called us to do. Israel was sitting there with their king, with Saul, with all his men. David's brothers were there. And they were sitting there and nobody would fight this giant. He was defying God. And they sat there, and here comes a little shepherd boy between 15 and 17 and said, I'll fight him. I'll rise up. I'll stand for our God. See, he understood the power of God. Sometimes we got to understand the power within us. Greater is he that is in us than is in the world. We got to understand that God got you. God made you. God know you. God understand you. Rise above your fears and do what God has called you to do. Be who God has called you to be. We have to rise up. We get so comfortable. And where we are, we won't move. Yes, he's big. He's bad. This man had been trained for years in the art of war, the Philistine. They say he was 9'9". I know the Bible might say some cubits, but I had to look that up because I ain't good at metrics and all that stuff. The Bible said he was 9'9". That's a big. He could have took Shaq and gave him a noogie. Everybody know who Shaq is. He could have took Shaq, but David didn't let that stop him. He looked back at past victories, and the next thing David did for everybody taking notes. He didn't let the chatter stop him. He heard what the Philistines, sometimes you just got to close your ears to the devil and what he's saying. Close your ear. I like doing that thing. I don't hear you. Just close your ears to the devil. Because he can get so worrisome. On the other token, it's this little commercial. I don't know the name of it, but it goes like the boy said, mommy, mommy, mommy. Mommy, mommy, my mommy. I'm like, shut that boy up. Sometimes we just got to shut the devil up. You have to put him in the place with the word of God. See, that's what David knew. David said, oh no. My God. See, and then the next thing that David understood, even when he went there and Saul, the king, he heard all the chatter. He said, oh, I got somebody that's going to rise up against him. bring him in, let me see him. So he went to Saul. Saul looked at him and said, guess what the first thing he did? Told him, you ain't able, you're a boy. You're a shepherd boy, you ain't able. And then David had to give him his testimony. Sometimes our testimonies will help others get delivered. So David gave him the testimony, yeah, that might be true. I might be little and all this, but I took care of my daddy's sheep, and when it came time for me to bring one back, I went out and got him, and I killed the lion, I killed the bear, and I'm going to go out there and fight this giant. See, and sometimes God will allow us to go in and take on somebody else's giant, because it wasn't even David's giant. It was actually Saul's giant. So guess what Saul tried to do? First, he tried to discourage him. Don't listen to discouragement. And as I looked at that, I said, wow, that's powerful. I thank God for our leaders here. I mean, can you imagine going to your leader, he telling you you can't? I took that as sometimes discouragement comes from leadership. I mean, powerful it is. It's true. Saul's a leader. He telling this boy he needs somebody to fight him. And then a boy step up and he won't even listen to him. He tried to discourage him. You can't do this. This man was trained in war. You just a shepherd boy. You're a nobody. And then Saul, hey, I'm going to send him on a suicide mission. So he said, put on my armor. Take my helmet. Take my coat. Come here. Take my coat. This is David. Take my coat. Take my shield. Take my weapons. Go ahead out there, and you go ahead and fight him. David looked at him and said, "Well, King, this don't fit me. I can't fight with this on. It might look good, but it don't look good on me. This is not the tool that God gave me." See, we have to understand, when you're fighting Satan, you got to use those things that have been tested. Even in our military, they don't send out weapons for our military to fight with anything that has not been tested. So David couldn't wear Saul's armor. He couldn't wear his armor. He couldn't take his sword. He couldn't take his spear. He couldn't take his helmet. Okay, you know, the Bible says that Saul was a tall man anyway. If anybody should have been fighting David, it should have been Saul, because he was at the same height. He was measured among men. He was tall. So could you imagine a helmet going on David's head that he couldn't see, he couldn't do nothing, he couldn't move. So the first thing we have to learn, you can't use untested weapons to go into warfare. Prayer has shown you it works. The word of God has shown you it works. Use those weapons that will work. David said, I can't take this. So he went down, he got down to the brook. Thank you, David. David said, I don't want this Saul, take it. So he went down to the brook and he found 5 smooth stones. And even as it went on, when I was a young preacher, I never understood that why he got these stones, why he get 5. I said, okay, if he missed, he got 4 more shots. If he missed twice, he got 3 more shots. But I found out that Goliath had brothers. So David had made up his mind, let your brothers come. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to wipe them all out. See, and that's how we have to be with Satan. We got to understand, I'm going to take you all out. I don't care how much the adversary come, what come your way, I'm going to take you out. And we just have to be encouraged to that point to understand, when Satan comes, I'm going to take you out. Because greater is my God. Greater is my God. Greater is my God. You're not going to defile my God. I don't care what you say. My God lives. I serve a living God. My God is able. Yes. And he understood that. Even as a young boy, he understood that we need to understand in our lives. We hinder ourselves because we don't hold on to the word of God and what God has said. David said, no, I'm going to fight him. And the other thing David did, he took the battle to him. Sometimes we got to go into warfare and you got to come ready to fight. You got to take the battle to Satan. And that's what David did. He took the battle to him. He ran to him. They had drawn the line. And David said, meet me in the line. And he ran to him. And as he ran to him, he took that slingshot. And guess what? He bust him in the head. Sometimes you just need to bust the devil up in the head. I'm going to bust you in your head. You won't win this fight. And get him before he gets you. You done talked enough trash. They done heard you for 40 days, twice a day. I'm going to get you. David took that slingshot and he bust him in the forehead and he fell down. So all that trash he talked to David, I'm going to take your body and I'm going to feed it to the fowl of the air. And this and this and this. David said, oh no, buddy, I'm going to take your head and I'm going to let your body be fed to the fowl. And he fell. David, can you imagine? David jumped on that joker, took his sword, and cut his head off. The Bible said David didn't have a sword. Sometimes you got to take the devil and just cut his head off. You cut the head off, ain't too much more moving. That's it. They run around like a chicken with the head cut off. He cut his head off. And then after he cut his head off, they said that the brothers, see, we're supposed to be an encouragement. Then Israel rose up. They said, oh, the champion's dead. He's dead now. He's dead. Israel rose up. All of Saul's men rose up, and then they went and fought the Philistine and chased them all the way back to Gath. See, that's what happens. We're supposed to be able to be that encouragement that will lift others up out of their slumber and say, come on, let's fight. Come on, let's go. God did it for me. He'll do it for you. You know, so many testimonies. How many times has God healed your body over and over again and you don't tell nobody about what God can do? How many times has God provided for you and you haven't told anybody what God? How many people needed a mind regulator and God just regulated your mind and he was right there for you? How many times has God shown up on your behalf, but yet you hadn't shared with anyone the power of God in your life? See, we can learn lessons even from the youth. We can learn lessons. You know, if you feel like I feel, we have to wake up. We need a spiritual healing to take place not only in the kingdom of God, but in this world. And the only way that's going to happen is by us and through us and in us. Because greater is he that's in us that's in the world. The more I seek him, the more I seek him. We have to seek him. We have to seek him. We have to seek him. See, the thing about David, David used to be out there and he would seek the Lord. He would just be making songs and singing to the Lord and spending time with God, getting quality worship in. See, one thing we have to do when we come into the house of God, this is a place of worship. We have to have corporate worship when we come into the house. We have to have corporate worship. It's not about me. It's not about you. I'm here to worship God. I'm here to worship a living God. I'm here to serve a worshiping, a mighty God, a true God. I'm here. If nobody else worship God, we should be worshiping God. And then as we come in as a body, as we come in as a people, we're in one accord, and God is blessed by the worship. David lived a life that was pleasing to God. He was obedient. See, we don't count the little things. David was on assignment. His father sent the men to take food to his brothers and to the captain and check on his brother to get a report. But see, that God took that lieutenant assignment and turned it into a major victory. See, we have to learn to be faithful over the little things that God places in our hands. We don't take the little things serious that God gives us to the point that we can develop into something great. David went down a little. You got to be faithful over what your father has given you. We always look. We always want to get the Cadillac, and we ain't learn how to drive the Pinto. We always want to get the pulpit, and we ain't never got the door. Be faithful over the little things. David was faithful over his father's sheep. David was faithful to deliver the message, and when he got there, God said, "Okay, I need to do a supernatural thing. I need you to stand for me." God is calling us to stand for him. Take a supernatural stand for God. We have to learn to be faithful over another man's. You know, we go to these jobs and we take it for granted. God placed you there for a reason. We complain about needs. We complain about this and complain. We'll be faithful because you'll never know who's watching your life. You never know what purpose God has you there for. That very person that you sit next to might be the one that needs Christ. You go to work the next day and that person committed suicide. You'll be like, I never shared Christ. I never told them about Christ. You never know how much somebody's hurting or what they're going through. How much they need you. We get so concerned with our needs that we don't concern about anyone else. David fulfilled purpose. David fulfilled purpose. We get so wrapped up and twined up in the things of this world, the affairs of this world. How much more can I get? How much more can I have? How much more? How much more? How much? Give me, give me, give me, give me. Closets full of clothes. We could probably clothe everybody out there that's on Monticello. Just in this house. If we have a burning to please God, if we have a spiritual awakening and understand it's more than just about me, it's not about me, it's about Christ. It's about Christ. It's about doing what God has called me to do. It's about God keeping his promises to us. David knew God never lied to him. David understood God was real. Do you really believe God is real in your life? Do you believe God is able in your life? Has God shown you to be true? Has God shown you that he's mighty? God has shown you that he can do anything but fail. Has God ever failed anybody in here? He's never failed. We serve a God that's never failed. He's never failed. A spiritual awakening. God can use anybody to do great things. Even when people look at you as nobody. Great things, great things, great things. Somebody say great things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Revelations 3 and 15 is a very familiar scripture. It talks about God would rather for you either be cold or hot. Hot or cold. Instead of being lukewarm. Sometimes lukewarm people, lukewarm don't do it for me when I'm eating. I don't like my stuff lukewarm. God wants us to be hot or cold. Cold or hot. Not lukewarm. We can't be, can you imagine lukewarm? You go to a restaurant or a buffet and something's lukewarm. You and then you try something else and you get there and that's lukewarm. Guess what? You leaving that buffet. The cold food. God wants us to be hot for him. We need to be on fire for Christ. But, you know, we need to be on fire for Christ. We need to do what God has called us to do. We need to do ministry. We need to wake up people. If you feel like I feel, we need to get excited about the things of God. We need to have the same zeal that we had when we got saved. The same zeal when God touched us and healed us the first time. The same zeal, the same hunger, the same thirst for Christ. People are dying. But we want to do what pleases us. We're just like Israel. We might as well just sit there and let somebody else. I guess somebody else will fight the giant. I guess somebody else will stop this all this abortion and stop all this gun violence and stop, you know, this. Some things are in our control to do as Christians. But we need to rise up. We need to stand up and do what God has called us to do. Now, anybody that know me and you ever sat down at the table with me, I eat fast. I try to slow it down, but it'd be so good. You know, I eat fast. So God just wanted me to encourage you all today. Eat the meat. Spit out the bone. If the word was for you today, hear it. Be receivers of it. Challenge yourselves. We need a spiritual awakening. If you feel like I feel, we need to do something, church. We need to get radical. Stop waiting for somebody else to get radical. Stop waiting. Somebody got to lead, and somebody got to follow. Let's get radical. If you really, 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 I mean, if you really, really love God, if you really are thankful to God for being your God. See, sometimes we get caught up in what he gives us and what he's done for us. But the first scripture, I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. They'll come right behind you. They'll run you down. The blessings of the Lord will run you down. But we have to get busy with the kingdom work. We have to get busy with the things of God. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. Are we living a life that's pleasing to God? I woke up this morning. I was messing with my wife. I came through the house. I said, baby, baby, where you at? The rapture ain't came because I'm still here. Where you at? TV on, computer going, washing machine running. Where you at, girl? The rapture ain't came yet. But God is going to crack that sky, and he's going to be looking for a people. He's going to be looking for a church without spot nor wrinkle. And we need to be that church. When that sky cracks, when he comes back, I want to be called up. I'm going to be called up. And it's not about the works, but it's doing kingdom work for him. When that sky cracks, will you, can you say without a doubt that you're going back with him? Are you positive? If you're here today and you're not sure, absolutely 100% sure, I'm going to ask Steve to come back to the keys. If you're not sure that you're going to be going back with Christ Jesus, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you got a inkling, a doubt in your mind that when he cracks that sky, I'm not going. And if you want to be counted in that number, if you don't know him as your personal Savior on the day, you need to get to know him. You need a relationship with Christ. You need a relationship with Christ.